can't preach after that, you have no preach in you, you know. Praise the Lord for it. I'm glad that's true today. You're not too bad for the Lord to save you. He come to save bad people. Do you know that? We're all bad. Aren't you glad you come to church today to hear you're bad? You're a bad person. The Lord Jesus Christ came to forgive our sins. They're wiped away in the blood of Jesus Christ. Hey, he died for us, but he shed his precious blood too, folks. With the shedding of blood that there's no remission of sin. Without the shedding of blood. We praise the Lord for his goodness to us. And he's been awful good to us, hasn't he? He's been good to me, I know that. If you be honest with yourself, he's been pretty good to you too. Especially if you're saved. He's delivered you from hell. He's delivered you from bondage. He sets your spirit free. He's given you liberty. It's all found in the person of Jesus Christ. Who in the right mind would turn down the lovely Lord Jesus? Now think about it. I mean, we're in bondage. We're, at least. And he came down and snapped our fetters and set us free. We're as free as a bird today. I'm glad he's my Savior. He is the Savior. He's the only Savior. Praise his holy name. Amen. I'm glad you're here today. Take your Bible, turn with me to the book of Exodus chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2. If you remember, I have three series going. Aren't you glad I don't preach all three of them at once? You know? But I have an Old Testament book, a New Testament book, and a topical series. Today we go back to our topical series, and that's the mountains of the Bible. The first mountain we looked at was Mount Moriah, and what a mountain that is and was. Today we go to another mountain, and what a mountain it is. We begin our reading in Exodus chapter 2, verse 23. It came to pass in process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage. And they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. He said, draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. I draw your attention to the phrase in verse number 1 of chapter 3. It says, the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And I begin a message this morning entitled, Mount Horeb. Mount Horeb. Sometimes it's hard to get the titles of your messages. But whenever your title of your series is Mountains of the Bible, then it's going to be Mount what, Mount what, Mount what. You understand what I'm saying? Very good. And today we've come to Mount Horeb. And this is a great, great mountain to be found on. May the Lord add his blessing to it. Let's pray together. Our Father, we love you today. Pray for your goodness to us. Thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for your grace and mercy in our lives. Thank you for this time, Lord, it's been set aside to come and worship you. If somebody's in our presence that does not know Jesus Christ, make yourself very real to them today. May you draw them to yourself. May the will of God be done in this service. Forgive my sins. If there's anything in my heart and life that's hindering you, forgive me, remove it, get it out of the way. May you have free reign and free course. Bind Satan and his evil spirits away from this place in Jesus' name. Amen. A good while ago now, the Lord gave me a thought about doing a sermon series on the mountains of the Bible. The first mountain that we considered together was Mount Moriah, in which Abraham was tested with his son Isaac. Today we come to another mountain. It's the mountain called Horeb. Now this is the same mountain that's identified as Sinai. It's the same mountain. We know this because in Acts chapter 7 verse 30, The Bible says that when 40 years were expired, there appeared unto him, talking about Moses, in the wilderness of Mount Sinai, an angel of the Lord in the flame of fire in a bush. Now, some people believe that Horeb and Sinai are two mountain tops of the same range of mountains. Some people believe that Sinai and Horeb are the same identical mountain. I don't know what it is, but I do know that right here it's identified as Horeb, and yet in Acts chapter 7, verse 30, it's identified as Sinai. So we know that they are one and the same. Now, this is a mountain that many things took place on. Today we're going to look at one of them. Now, this is a mountain that we see so many things that's taking place on it, but today the message has to do with the scene of the burning bush in Moses' life. Now, this is the mountain where Moses had an encounter with the Lord God of heaven. Let me pause here and say this. We all need that every now and then. This meeting is one of the most familiar stories in all the Word of God. And this meeting that Moses had, get it, as an 80-year-old man, this meeting he had changed his life. And let me say this to you. Anytime you have an encounter with God, you're not going to be the same. A meeting with God will change your life. And this is what we're going to look at today as we look at this mountain called Horeb. Now, there's three things we're going to bring out about this mountain that took place here, or thoughts that we can learn from it. Number one, the condition of Israel. Number two, the compassion or care of God. And number three, the call of Moses. Now, we're not going to get to the call of Moses until tonight, which is really a message for children of God. But today, let's notice the first two. First of all, we see on this mountain the condition of Israel. Now, if you'll notice with me, look at chapter 2, verse 23 and following again. And it came to pass in process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage. And they cried, and their crying came up unto God by reason of the bondage. And God heard their groaning. And God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. Look at chapter 3, verse 7. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I'm come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Now as we come to this story, we see that the nation of Israel is in Egypt at this time that God is meeting Moses on Mount Horeb. Now as we listen to these verses, there are several words that come out that summarize the condition of Israel. In other words, this word, this word, this word, this word, this word, and all these words give you a summary of the condition of the Israelites down in Egypt. Now let's notice these words together and let's see just what kind of condition they're in. Number one, we see in chapter 2, verses 23, verse 23, and then in chapter 3, verses 7 and 9, the word comes to me by the name of bondage. The word of God says in chapter 2, verse number 23, look at it. It says, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage. Now notice here in these verses, we see that these dear people were not free people. They were under bondage to the Egyptians who caused them to serve as slaves. Now listen to this verse that gives us a little bit more insight. You're in Exodus, look at chapter 1 and verse number 14. The word of God says, and they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and in brick and in all manner of service in the fields. All their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. Now it's interesting here, the word hard, where it says they made them serve bitter with hard bondage. That word hard means cruel, severe, grievous, rough, or sorrowful. The word rigor here means with cruelty. It means to break apart. It means to fracture something and to be very severe with something. In other words, they were kept in bitter slavery, treated cruelly to the point that maybe physically and maybe even spiritually they were falling apart. Along with this, chapter 3, verse 7 tells us that they were crying by reason of their taskmasters. You know what the word taskmaster means? It means to drive, distress, oppress, tyrannize, and harass. That's what it means. This is the first thing that shows us the condition of the Israelites. They're in bondage. Not only bondage, but it's cruel bondage. It's severe bondage. It's oppressing bondage. And their taskmasters are behind them, driving them and harassing them the whole time they're there. Secondly, this is all the condition. Secondly, not only the word bondage, but number two, groaning. Look at chapter 2, verse 24. And God heard their groaning. That word groaning there carries the idea of complaining, carries the idea of moaning, carries the idea of crying out. Get this, they are in tremendous torture during this time. The third word that comes to mind is chapter 3, verse 7, and that is the word affliction. Look at chapter 3, verse 7. And the Lord said, I've surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt. This word affliction means depression. It means misery. Their suffering is what I'm trying to paint in your mind. The fourth word that comes to mind is chapter 3, verse 7. It's the word sorrow. If you'll notice, he says, I've surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt and have heard their crying by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. That word sorrow there means anguish. It means grief and it means pain. Now get this, the Israelites were in terrible shape. We go on. The next word that comes to mind is crying in verse number 7 there again. He says, I've heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. You know what that word cry means? It means to shriek. It doesn't carry the idea of help. Help. It carries the idea of help. They're shrieking. They're pleading. This is their condition. The last thing that we see that summarizes their condition. By the way, I'm trying to get to point two. Can you tell? The last thing that summarizes their condition is oppression. In chapter 3, verse number 9, where the word of God says the latter phrase, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. This word oppress means to press, force, hold fast, or crush. They were feeling it from all sides. And let me go back and review this with you. We're noticing we're on Mount Horeb today. Just some truths that we learned from this mountain. And this mountain teaches us, first of all, the condition of Israel. God is speaking to Moses about the condition of his people down in the land of Egypt. And he says, I want you to know something, Moses. They're in bondage. They're not free. Their taskmasters are driving them and tyrannizing them and harassing them. They're breaking my people apart. They're burdening my people to where they're groaning, they're complaining, they're crying out, they're afflicted, they're in depression and misery, they're in great pain and sorrow and anguish. They're shrieking out for me. And he's saying they're oppressed, they're being oppressed. God is sharing this with Moses. Now this is a beautiful thought here. It's not beautiful when you think about what I'm getting ready to say, but it's a beautiful thought of how this pictures something. When you consider the condition of the Israelites at this time, they were in a desperate situation and needed deliverance. And let me say this to you. Anybody that knows anything about the Bible understands that this is a spiritual picture of somebody who's lost. A lost person, this is a picture of you. Because the Israelites in Egyptian bondage is a picture of a lost soul in bondage to the devil. And I'm telling you today that what happened to Israel and their condition in Egypt is exactly the condition that I was in. And exactly the condition that if you're saved, you were in. And if you're not saved, it's currently the condition you're in now. I'm talking about bondage. Some people think that when they're lost, they're free. I've got news for you. You are in bondage to somebody in this life. It's either the devil or it is God Almighty. And I'm telling you, if it's the devil, all these other things come with it. If it's God, he doesn't bind you. He sets you free and gives you everything you've been looking for. I'm telling you that a lost person is in bondage to the devil, with cruel bondage. He's harassing you. He's trying to make you feel like you're a piece of dirt. He's trying to break you apart. He's trying to smash you down. He's trying to crush you. He's trying to take you out. And it may be that you're groaning and you're in affliction and you're in sorrow and you say, I don't understand it. That's a lost person today. But that brings me to my second point. And that is not only the condition of Israel, but number two, the care of God. We see this in chapter 2, verses 23 to 25. And then in chapter 3, verses 7 to 9. Now, it's interesting to note here that every page and every chapter of the Word of God gives us insight into the character of our God. He's on every page, folks. He's in every chapter of the book. You just have to find him. And what I'm saying to you is that this story is no different. Throughout these verses, we see a wonderful truth about God for these hurting Israelites who are in bondage. You know what that truth is? He really cared for them. He really loved these people. This comes shining through for us to consider. You say, Jody, prove to me that God cared for them. Okay, I'll be happy to do that. He proved it to them by the actions he took. Now keep in mind what's going on, the condition of Israel. They're in bondage to their taskmasters. They're groaning. They're in affliction. They're in sorrow. They're crying out. They're oppressed. They're in a desperate situation. Now what does God do? And folks, let me say something to you. I'm trying to apply this in several ways. Let me tell you how I'm trying to apply it. If you're saved today, you need to rejoice in what you're about to hear. If you're not saved, you need to pay close attention, because what he did for Israel is what he wants to do for you. Now, are you with me? So this message is for everybody. This message is not just for a lost person. This message is also for we who are saved to rejoice that God really did love us and he really did care about us. Let me show you what he did. Number one under this. We see his care come shining through in that, number one, he heard them. He heard them. We see this in chapter 2, verses 23 and following. Notice this. It came to pass in process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of bondage, and they cried. Now get this. And their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. Here it is now. And God heard their groaning. Look at chapter 3, verse 7 and 9. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. Look at verse number 9. Now therefore, behold, this is God speaking, the cry of the children of Israel has come unto me. It's come unto me. You know, this word means, when he says, I heard them, I heard them, I heard them. You know what that word means? Look it up for yourself. You know what it means? It means to attentively and carefully consider, give ear to, listen to, and understand. That's a powerful word right there, folks. In other words, the Lord shows his care for these hurting people by taking time to hear them. When they cried, he said, wait a minute. I hear that. Are you listening to me? He didn't have to listen. He didn't have to listen to you either. But because he loved them, and because he cared about them, he listened to them when they cried to him. You know, it's interesting, in Psalm 65, 2, one of his names is, O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. They were oppressed, they were afflicted, they were crying, they were being harassed, they were being pulled apart, and they were crying out for God, and God heard them. Let that sink in. Secondly, he not only heard them, but number two, he saw them. We see this in chapter 2, verse 25. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. Look at chapter 3, verse 7. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt. Look at chapter 3, verse number 9. It says, now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is coming to me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Look at verse 16. Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, of Jacob, appeared to me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. See, he not only heard them, he saw them. He looked at them. You know what this word saw means? Where it says, I have seen thee and all it. You know what it means? It means to gaze upon. It means to be near to. It means to stare at. You know what that tells me? That tells me God was in Egypt. That tells me that he saw everything that's happening in their life. And he not only saw it, he intensely gazed at it. He's staring at it. And he drew a little bit nearer to make sure he knew exactly what was going on. Don't you tell me God doesn't care about you folks. Don't you tell me God didn't care about the Israelites. He cared about them and that he heard them. He cared about them and that he saw them. He cared about them, number three, and that he respected them. Look at verse number 27 of chapter 2. No, excuse me, verse number 25 of chapter 2. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. You know what this word means? Let it sink in. It means to be acquainted with. It means to regard. Now, what's it mean when you think about being acquainted with something? When you make an acquaintance, what are you doing? You're getting close to somebody, right? You're making an acquaintance. You're trying to learn more about them. Not that God learns anything. I'm just talking about us. You try to get close to them. You're making an acquaintance with them. And the Bible says that God heard them and he saw them because he respected them. That means he wanted to be acquainted with them. Are any of these words sinking in, or is you dead right now as you sound? These are powerful words. These are words that he's intensely looking at you. He's intensely gazing at you. He is wanting to be acquainted with you. He's moving close to you. He's hearing your cries. Powerful words. And all this comes shining through that God loved these people. The Bible says in Psalm 139:3, thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. Isaiah 53:3, he's despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Then there's a fourth way he proved he cared for these people. He heard them, he saw them, he respected them. Number four, he knew their sorrows. We see this in chapter 3, verse 7. The last phrase, for I know their sorrows. And this word know here is the same word that's used for the word respect, which can also mean to recognize and discern. In other words, the Lord was not some distant person who did not really understand what was going on in the lives of the Israelites at this time. He knew exactly what they were going through. He knew exactly what was happening in their life. He understood their situation perfectly. He understood what was going on in their hearts and in their lives. He knew all about them. In all of this, we see that God cared about them. Then it brings me to my final point this morning. Now, that does not mean it's your final point and you go to bed, okay? But this is really the message. This is really the message right here. Now, let me just go back and review right here quickly. We're on Mount Horeb this morning. And what we're looking at, it's the scene of the burning bush. But before we ever get to the burning bush, I'm saying with Moses, him calling Moses, the call of Moses is what I'm talking about. We see some great thoughts for us. And these great thoughts is we notice the awful condition of Israel. They're in bondage, they're groaning, they're in affliction, they're in sorrow, they're crying out, they're oppressed. Same thing with a lost person. We notice that God really does care about these people and that he heard them. He saw them. He respected them. He knew their sorrows. But really, number five is where the rubber meets the road. It's brought out in verse 8 and verse number 16. And notice this phrase. This is God speaking to Israel. Notice he says this. He said, listen. He says, I understand everything that's going on with Israel. He says, I know what they're going through. I know their sorrows. I've got my eye on them. I understand what they're feeling. I understand everything about them. I know they're being pulled apart. I know they're oppressed. I know the taskmasters are harassing them. I know all about them. I've heard their cry. I see them. I know them. I respect them. I'm acquainted with them. Then he makes a great statement. And that great statement is the opening phrase of verse number 8. He says, I am come down to deliver them. In verse number 16, notice it. It says, go and gather the elders of Israel together and say unto them, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, of Jacob, appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you. You know, the last point of my message, which is really the main thought of the message this morning, is, folks, he not only heard them, saw them, respected them, and knew their sorrows, but number 5, he came to them. He came to them. The Bible says, God says to Moses, I have come down. I feel like going off right here. You know what the words come down mean? It means to descend to a lower region. In other words, the Lord God of heaven not only heard them, he not only saw them, he not only respected them, and he only knew their sorrows, but he came down to the earth. Now you know where I'm going with this, don't you? To deliver them out of Egyptian bondage and give them a land flowing with milk and honey, chapter 3, verse 8. Does any of this sound familiar to you? John chapter 3, verse 13. Jesus said, and no man hath ascended up into heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. John 6, 38. Jesus said, for I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. John 6, 51, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. God told Moses, he said, I have seen something. I have heard something. I know their sorrows. I'm acquainted with their griefs. I understand what they're going through. And they're crying out. And therefore, Moses, I'm making a commandment. I have come down. And when I come down, my purpose is to deliver my people out of Egyptian bondage. And I'm telling you, when the Lord Jesus Christ, oh, can't you see? God the Father, this was planned in the mind of God, all these kind of things. He knew that Jesus Christ would die for the sins of the world. The reason he knew that, folks, is because he's all-knowing. And the reason it was planned in his mind in eternal past, because he knew that men would make the wrong decision in life. And yet, can't you see him? Now, I think there's a song that talks about this. I don't believe it went this way, but just a picture. God looking through heaven, looking for somebody to take upon him and pay for the sins of the world. The lovely Lord Jesus says, I'll go. And when he said that, folks, he was saying, I'm not stripping myself of my glory. He's God. But temporarily he lays it aside. And he comes down and he is found in the womb of a young virgin girl by the name of Mary. And that young virgin girl gives birth. When she gives birth, the angels are there. You see, glory to God in the highest. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. All these kind of things. That baby grows up and never one time cries when it's not supposed to. Can you imagine that? He grows up and he's perfect. By the way, your child's not, just in case you're wondering. But he was. He lived for 33 and a half some odd years. And he went to the cross of Calvary and he said, no man convinces me of sin. Now you understand the wages of sin is death, which means the only reason somebody has to die is because they're sinners. But Jesus said, no man convinces me of sin. He was perfect. He was the God-man. By the way, it takes faith to believe that. If you don't believe that, you're lost. Amen. You cannot believe that Jesus sinned and have a Savior at the same time. But the fact of the matter is, he left the portals of glory. And he came down. He came down to this earth with a purpose. And his purpose was to deliver those who are in bondage. And that purpose is you. And that person and purpose is me. There's a song that goes like this. I'm not singing it because I don't know it very well. Aren't you glad? It says, the gulf had separated me from Christ my Lord. It was so vast the crossing I could never afford. From where I was, it seemed so far. Then I cried, dear Lord, I cannot come to where you are. He came to me. He came to me. When I could not come to where he was, he came to me. That's why he died on Calvary. He came to me. He came to me. He came to me when I was down in the chains of my sin. He came to me when I could find no hope within. Then he reached down and drew me gently to his side. And today, in his sweet love, I now abide. He came to me. He came to me. When I could not come to where he was, he came to me. That's why he died on Calvary. He came to me. He came to me. You know, this is the reason the Lord Jesus Christ was born of the Virgin Mary. This is the reason that he gave his back to the smiters. This is the reason he had the thorns placed on his brow. This is the reason he had his beard plucked out. This is the reason he laid his life down on the cross. This is the reason he took his life back into his hands 3 days later. Why? Because he knew that we could never get to him. And when we could never get to him, he chose to come to us. And he has come to us so that we may come to him. And all of these actions the Lord took toward the Israelites goes to show us one thing about our God. It shows us that he did care and he still does today. If you've never trusted him as your Savior, he wants to save you today. If you are saved, you ought to rejoice, and your skin ought not be able to hold what's inside you when you think about where you were in bondage and crying and sighing and taskmasters and the devil breaking you apart. But when you cried unto the Lord Jesus Christ, he came to you, he converted you, he changed your life, and you're going to heaven for all eternity. And I'm saying that we either rejoice in what he's done, or we accept it because we've never done it before. Now, who in their right mind would say, God, I know you love me, and I know you see me and know me and hear my cries, and you've even come to take my sins. Who in their right mind would say, I don't want that? Do you know Jesus as your Savior? Have you trusted him? If you have, glory to God. If you haven't, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Any man hear my voice and open, I will come in and will sup with him and he with me. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish everlasting life. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. I'm telling you, what is it that you need to do? By the way, if you are saved and you've trusted Christ, he's done all this for you. Shame on us if we don't tell somebody else about it. May God take these opening thoughts from Mount Horeb. Now tonight we're going to bring you face to face with the burning bush and Moses. There's some wonderful thoughts right there, folks. I hope you don't miss it. But this morning we've only approached it. There's a condition of Israelites. There's the care of God. And God loves you too today. Aren't you glad of that? He loves you. I hope you'll come to Him. Let's bow for a word of prayer, shall we? Our Father, we love You this morning. We thank You for Your goodness to us. Thank You for Your mercy in our lives. And Lord, I thank You that You have showed us, You have shown us from Your Word, that just like the Israelites were in that terrible condition in Egypt, so are lost people without the Savior. In bondage, groaning, affliction, sorrow, crying and oppressed. But yet You as God have cared enough to hear, to see, to respect, to be acquainted with, to know. And You came to us when we could never come to You. Draw people to Yourself. May the will of God be done. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. They're beginning to play through softly as soon as they get prepared. Let me ask you a question this morning. Do you need deliverance from spiritual bondage? By the way, we who are saved, there was a time in our lives when we were not saved. We weren't born saved. We were born sinners. See, the devil tries to get people to think, well, what will he think? Or what will they think? There's so many people here. What will these people think of me if I come forward to receive Christ? I'll tell you what a child of God will think. They ought to rejoice in their heart. That's what they ought to do. But the fact of the matter is, it makes no difference what another human being thinks, folks. It only matters what God knows. And if God is speaking to you today, it's because He has visited you. He's trying to deliver you from spiritual bondage. See, in Egypt, when the Israelites, in just literally interpreting this, that Egyptian bondage was not going to necessarily send them to hell, but it was going to send them to the grave eventually. But spiritual bondage, folks, not only sends you to the grave, it sends you to hell. But God, in the person of Jesus Christ, His blessed Son, has come down. Aren't you glad He's come down? He's come down so that you and I may go up someday. Isn't that a wonderful thought? Do you need Him today? Have you trusted Him as your Savior? Do you really know without a doubt that heaven is your home? If you know for sure that what God did for Israel, He has already done for you, I'm asking, do you know you're saved? No doubt in your mind, you know you're a child of God. If that's you, quickly, quietly, you know you're saved. You're not hoping, you don't think, you know you are. If you can, only if you can, please, please, please don't lie. If you can honestly say that before God, would you raise your hand? So I know I'm saved. God bless you. Thank you. You can put your hands right back down. There may be somebody here today say, Jody, I don't know that. Oh, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to help you to see our heart, but more than that, to see His heart. He loves you tremendously today. He died for you. He wants to save you. Will you let Him? Is there one today say, Jody, I couldn't raise my hand to that. I could not raise my hand saying, I know I'm a Christian, but I know in my heart that this is what I need. Now, if you're here today and you're not saved, and just to be frank, you don't care, then I feel sorry for somebody like that. Maybe there's somebody here say, Jody, I could not raise my hand to that question, but in my heart, I want to be able to. I really do. Would you be an honest person? We're not going to come to your seat. We're not going to embarrass you. You just need to know how to proceed. We want to help you. Is there anybody like that? Would you be honest right now, quickly, quietly? Would you raise your hand in the air? Anybody at all? God bless you, sir. Thank you. Somebody else. Somebody else. Somebody else. Somebody else. Now you raise your hand and you're looking at me. And I'm looking at you. Now nobody else knows who I'm talking to. But I'm looking at you because I want you to know that I see you and that I recognize and that I recognize that it's you. In just a moment, what we're going to do is extend an invitation. Please understand something. There's a God in heaven, sir, who loves you. And He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, not to only die for you, but to also die for all of us too. And He loves you so much that He spoke to you today. And He's saying, I've come down will you take me? We can't force you to do this. God's made it to where nobody can force you. This is your decision. You understand that? This is your decision. But as lovingly as I can, I'm telling you, don't be somebody who makes the wrong decision. Be somebody who says, I want God. God wants you too, sir. He wants to save you. I hope you'll let him. See, he has the power to do that, but he wants you to choose him. Do you understand that? Is this something that you feel like you'd like to do today? I hope so. I hope so. In just a moment, we're going to extend an invitation. Let me ask you this. Do you know the person sitting beside you? Do you know the person sitting beside you? I do. I know him very, very well. And here's what I want you to do. Because sometimes I know that it looks like it's a mile down here. You know what I'm saying? It looks like a mile. We want to make it as easy as we can on you. In just a moment, I'm going to ask you to come, and I hope you will. If you'd like for somebody to come with you, I know the gentleman sitting right beside you. If you'd like for him to come with you right now, if you'd like for him to come with you, I want you to reach over and poke him. Would you do that? You don't have to do this. But if you'd like for somebody to come with you, I want you to reach over and poke him. I pray the Lord help you with this. May God help you. You don't have to bring somebody with you, but we want you to come so we can tell, so we can help you. Have you say, Jody, I'm a Christian. God is reminding me today about what he's done for me. I'm saved, but I've been reminded. Be an honest person. Would you raise your hand? Be an honest person. God bless you. May the Lord help you. Maybe some of you need to respond. Let me help you. If you respond, the lost people may respond. Now, you shouldn't respond to help them respond. You should respond because God wants you to respond. But if the Lord is speaking to you, why don't you come? Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, take this and use it in a mighty, mighty way. May the will of God be done. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Nobody's looking around. Nobody's looking around. And as we sing, if God is speaking to you, would you leave your place? Would you come? Brother Gary is singing. If God is speaking to you, would you leave your place? Would you come? Come now, please.
Just as I am with us.
Spiritual battle going on, and I want you to pray. I want you to pray. May God help you. And the dear person who raised his hand saying, I'm not sure I'm a Christian, sir, please understand that we're not trying to force anything on you. We don't believe in that. We're just simply trying to leave the door open so you can make the right decision. I promise you one thing. Be glad if you do. You'll regret it if you don't. So I'm trusting that this next verse, Brother Gary's going to sing, nobody's looking, I'm looking, nobody's looking. God is speaking to you. Would you come? Brother Gary sings, come on now.
Just as I to find no love.
time for you. Softly, you can look this direction. Amen. All right. You keep playing there. Just keep on playing. This is Mr. and Mrs. Watson and Tanner and their precious girl. And we're sensitive to this too. So they are coming today. If y'all folks wouldn't mind to stand there, Miss Charlotte will stand with you. They are coming today, and they want to join our church by letter. And we're thrilled to have you folks here. God bless you. Beautiful family. Have you happy that they're coming? Say a big amen. Amen. I'm just waiting on somebody to go big amen when I say that. God bless you. We're so thrilled to have you here. That's a precious family, no doubt about it. Amen. Very good. This is Mr. and Mrs. Burrell here. If you folks wouldn't mind to stand there, Miss Hannes will stand with you. They are coming today to join our church. They are also coming by letter. Both of them have been saved and baptized. And we're thrilled to have you folks here too. Both of these families, not families, but couples are in my Sunday school class, and they're joining anyway, you know. So they're blinded or something, you know. It's great when folks are joining our church, amen. Just don't ever take that for granted. Could I get a motion that we receive both of these families on their letter? Brother Ballman first. Great. Brother Cole second. All in favor say aye and raise your hand high. Any opposed, same sign. So carry. Very good. Won't you folks remain right here if you wouldn't mind? I'm sure our folks want to come by and greet you and shake your hands. That'd be a good thing. We're here for you. I love you. I want you to know that. I really am. My wife loves you. We're both here for you. Anything we can do for you, let us know. 6:30 tonight, we'll have a date with the burning bush. May the Lord add his blessing to that. Prayer meeting at 6:10. Hope you'll come praying and be back in your place. If you're a first-time guest, let me remind you, take your card out to the Welcome Center. Drop it off. Got a special gift for you there. Let me say one word to the one who raised their hand about salvation. I'm going to be shaking hands right out here. If you're interested in learning more about it, come through my door. We'll take a Bible and share with you the gospel. May the Lord help you.